listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is my drunken sailor of a sidekick, Evan Peterson. How you doing?
Can we never say your full name? You're ashamed of your family, aren't you? I would be too. I mean, I don't blame you.
It's the Jew thing, isn't it?
No, it's more the Methodist side.
Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. Was not expecting that from you.
Well, that's the essence of comedy, is keep it different. Don't give them what they expect.
Keep me on my toes?
Exactly.
We are doing our third annual listener appreciation. Not listener. No. We're doing our third annual.
We don't appreciate our listeners at all.
We're doing our third annual Well-Fetty Awards, or the Golden Bacon Awards, as they're known in other in other places.
We really should nail down the name of the
I like Well-Fetties. And I've always liked Well-Fetties, but you've besmirched my brilliant ideas at every turn.
It hasn't been just me though. Many people I have asked.
Who?
My entire family, not knowing the allegiances.
Your family hates me, and you probably
again
said
they
that.
Don't they didn't know who's they didn't know the allegiance. They didn't know who's on
what side. I don't believe you for a second.
Well, maybe we can leave that up to somebody other than us. I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
You're a wordsmith today.
We have rum and pickle wraps. How am I supposed to concentrate on anything?
Honestly, you should be dead to the world.
I should be. So this is a new thing for us.
Yes.
This is episode 145,
mm-hmm.
And this is the first time we have ever repeated a location.
That's exciting. It's a big deal for us.
It is a big deal. Once upon a time, I swore we would never do it.
Well, we've. I think it's a different restaurant, but it's the same. In that we're at
now. Who's the wordsmith?
I know. We're at Psycho Susie's Motor Lounge in beautiful Northeast. We're at their new location. They moved in November. Was it
yes.
September?
No, it was November.
October. I like how I just forgot October.
It was no one likes October.
You
know,
well, you do. That's your holy month.
No, anyway.
But we're doing it in the new, brand new, spanking new location in beautiful Northeast. It is awesome. I've only been here 20 minutes, and I'm already thoroughly enjoying myself just as much as I did at the old one. Even more so that you can actually hear each other speaking across the table.
There is that. If you haven't been here before, they've just on this floor. It's a multi-floor situation now.
Mm-hmm. It's the old Gabby's place.
It's the old Gabby's. The bottom floor, the main floor. I would say
snacking going
very
awesome.
Good. I would say it's probably about 3 to 4 times the size.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the patio, which, since it's 8 degrees out, we're not enjoying at this point.
If we were real men, we'd be out there.
Yeah. There's not even chairs out there, so.
Real men just stand in the
pushing
snow.
It.
We started off with an old favorite and a new favorite, and what is turning out into be a new favorite for
mm-hmm.
us. We went old school, and like the first show, we're doing the pickle wraps. And
that's right.
For those of you who have never been to a funeral or a fundraiser banquet in Minnesota, or a potluck. Any sort of group event that's sponsored by a church. you have obviously not experienced pickle wraps. The basic gist is you take pickle spear, you take a slice of pastrami or corned beef, or ham, I've seen in some
yes.
respects. I believe this is the pastrami.
Mm-hmm. I believe you are correct.
You put a schmear of the cream cheese on the pastrami, take said pickle spear, roll it up, and then slice horizontally. Sure. Slice it.
You slice it into chips.
Slice it into chips.
You don't slice it the long way.
Right. Slice it into chips, and that's really all it needs. It's perfection on a stick.
It is. You get the kind of the briny, mm-hmm. vinegary of the pickle with that smoothness of the cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. I don't even think the ham really adds a whole lot, which me saying that is a bit sacrilegious.
I'm kind of hurt by you saying that.
It adds a little bit of the sweetness depending. I mean, it obviously depends on what kind of meat you're doing. If you're doing ham or pastrami, there's a little bit of a sweetness to it. Maybe a little bit of saltiness right. to it.
I agree. When done properly and in its best form, it's on a pastrami, in my opinion.
That's a bit of a debate.
Maybe for another time.
Maybe for
another time.
Maybe
because
for another
time. We got a lot to cover.
We do have a lot to cover. Going back to the location now, as we were discussing before we came here, this is my third time here in about a week and a half.
You're a drunk.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe?
Maybe.
Really?
Well, two of those three, well, unless you come this show, three of those three were very, were special occasions. So there's definitely something to be said for that. Being a big fan of the original location, I like the fact that there is better parking. I almost said ample, but I don't think that qualifies in this case.
It's tough to tell because it's snowing like again.
See, here's the thing though. I think the ratio, because the old place had literally 8 parking spots.
Yeah.
And the new place, I think the ratio of space to parking lot size is the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, they've vastly increased the size, but they haven't. But they've only equaled the jump in the parking lot.
So to be honest, the only really real good way to do it is they got to build a ramp. let's be honest here. They need about a 3-level ramp.
Yeah.
And they could charge for parking and people would still come.
I'm sure they would. And I got to say, and I hate to say this, and this could be just because there's been a slight shift in the clientele that I have noticed. It seems they have almost gone almost like hotel bar-y.
You know what it reminds me of? When I was in Florida, we went to a bar that is in the Polynesian Hotel.
Okay.
Which is right on the grounds, and it basically looks like a 70s tiki bar threw up in there, which is essentially what this is. And it's a hotel bar.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very much the same.
Yeah. And I don't say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I think.
You know, if I have to make any criticism, I think it's lost a little bit of the punk charm.
Hipster charm.
Hipster punk.
Or dirty hipster, whatever.
You just think anyone that doesn't listen to Cities 97 is a dirty hipster, so.
It's true.
Yeah, so. Or sports talk. So. Here in Minneapolis, we have different gradations.
Oh, do you?
We do.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's a subtle distinction.
Before we kind of move on,
I'm gonna have the last pickle wrap.
Go for it. We should actually discuss what we're drinking.
We should.
Which is actually might be a project in itself.
It is. Oh, so one thing about this place is they're known for their tiki glasses, which their drinks come in.
The fuck out of alcohol.
Yes. I went, I went with what they call the Miserable Bastard, which they just describe as a wallop of dark rum and bitter lime, which is exactly what it tastes like. It basically tastes like limeade that kicks you in the throat.
Nice.
And it comes in this very cool Easter Island frog thing.
You're gonna buy that,
describe,
aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. We actually built a shelf. I shouldn't say we built a shelf. I bought a shelf. Hung it. IKEA's finest. But I would say half the shelf is just tiki glasses that we have purchased from here. So, and this is different. We did not have this one, so I will be purchasing this one as well.
All right.
So, you got something called the Paralyzed Polynesian. Is that what
no,
you got?
No, I got
what
the, did you get? The Escape from Pogo Pago Pago. Should be down in the big drinks.
Holy crap.
What?
I didn't realize this was the $11 large drink. That explains it now.
Explains it? Yeah.
It explains it. The rum is working.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's a 20-ounce drink.
I already feel pretty...
filled with tropical passion fruit and dark rums. Plural it's, rums.
It's very good. Now, they have, like, a three-tiered one that is not even on the menu. I can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
But I actually sent you a picture of it at some point when they first opened.
Yeah, the volcano?
Well, they have a they have like the drinks for sharing.
Yeah.
They have fire in the center. This one's like a three level, you know, looks like a chandelier type of deal.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't see it right here.
It's like $50.
Oh.
But it's supposed to. It's drinking for like six.
Luckily, we don't have far to go. At least I don't.
Yeah, mine. It's gonna be like bumper crash for me to get home.
Don't drink and drive, kids.
Don't.
Dave is a bad example for this and so many other reasons.
I was supposed to go to the gym afterwards. It's probably not happening.
Yeah, you're not gonna. No. Oh.
Hey, no.
Getting ready for the big gun.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, we have business to attend to.
Business.
We, as we do every year, we take a look at the various...
Oh, my.
Excellent.
Oh, my.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I'm going to move this because they put the pizza right on the recorder.
Keep it warm.
Yes. Okay. Now that we've settled that. Actually, before we get into the third annual Well-Fed Awards, our pizza hath arrived.
I'm excited about this.
This place is primarily known for the pizza, I would say. Food-wise, they're known for the pizza.
Right. But our first time here,
we did a bad thing.
We did a bad thing. We actually went full Monty on it, went all appetizers.
Yes.
And it was the first of many all appetizer shows that we've done.
Yeah.
Kind of set a precedent, if you will.
It did. It did indeed. We decided not to do that because, you know, we're a little older, a little wiser.
Tastes have refined a bit.
A bit.
Because that was like show like 7.
Yeah, that was in the first 10. Right. I remember that. But this time we went with a Hemi Cuda, which is a pepperoni, spicy sausage, Canadian bacon, ground beef, and onions and green peppers. So it's a meat pizza. It's like, oh.
This is gonna hurt.
And we did the we went with the deep dish route because I've never had their deep dish.
And you're not
out of the dozens of times I've been here.
Dozens. You're in the hundreds, aren't you?
I don't think I'm in the hundreds.
You're getting close.
I'm probably close.
Yeah, I mean, you're literally a left turn down the street.
Mm-hmm.
It's a left turn and then a right turn.
Yep.
If it was nicer out, we should have walked.
Which we normally do at when it is warm. We'll just walk down here. But it is very good pizza.
Oh, yeah.
It's deep dish pizza is... It's something special. You know what I mean? And I was so happy when they finally came out with frozen versions of it that are actually, like, decent.
I mean, it's not Chicago style.
No.
Deep dish.
No.
And this is still very Minnesotan deep dish. So the sauce isn't nearly as spicy as what you'd find on a traditional deep dish.
Deep dish doesn't have to have spicy sauce.
And I think the crust is drier too.
Yeah, a little bit. But it is. It's fantastic
muy
stuff.
Bueno.
Muy bueno. Why did we go Spanish there?
Oh.
Anyway, as I was saying, we've got a handful of awards that we give out every year. And I don't think we've repeated an award yet, except for the best of the year.
That happens.
It does happen. But So let's see. Let's start with the first one.
Okay.
You know this. Now we should say, we should clarify this for people that just started listening to the show. This is not a look back at. This is not a look at the Twin Cities in general.
Right.
You know, we're not making grand sweeping statements of the food scene here in Minneapolis.
No.
This is looking back at the places we visited in the last year. So while you may disagree with some of our choices, know that this is the list we were going with.
Right. And so, it's our list, damn it. You don't have a choice.
Although if you did, although if you still disagree, we would love to hear from you.
Right.
You can always email us. wellfed@fancymanskinksters.com or all the various other ways to let us know, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show because we have a lot to talk about. We started off with a place that we visited shortly after the head chef's appearance on Iron Chef.
Indeed. Smay Hwadi.
Do you add the huk in there? Are you supposed to?
I think so.
Okay.
I think I actually did that right.
Okay. I'm trusting you.
You actually have to have the deep dish pizza in your mouth when you actually say his name. It's an art. But do we actually have a title for the award we're giving?
Well, I was going to do that at the end, but we're going to talk about the place. For...
But yes, we went to Sme Hadi. This place, Saffron. In,
yes.
Called Warehouse District, maybe?
Yeah, downtown Minneapolis.
Downtown Minneapolis. Beautiful restaurant, just in terms of, you know, the space is concerned. And not to sound cliche, a very artfully constructed menu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff we had, as simpletons, we had never seen on a menu before, or been willing to try for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that is one of those places where, you know, we something we've talked about on the show many times before is that I would put, you know, neither of us are the most well-traveled, but we've been around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put the Minneapolis Twin, you know, Minneapolis-St. Paul food scene up against just about any other area.
How should I?
You know, places like New York, Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., they get the press, you know, Food Network, you know, will do, you know, specials on various New York eateries or Atlanta in Food Network's case.
Okay.
Very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
But Minneapolis will stand up, and Saffron is definitely one of those places that I hold up to any, you know, any celebrity chef, any of their places.
Yep.
I would put that right up there with them.
Absolutely. All right, we had such a simple dish, but we had the, I don't think you even had it. The sardines.
No.
No, excuse me, the anchovies. The anchovies with the radish and a little bit of olive oil. That was an amazing, amazing dish. And to this day, I still keep going back to that. You know, somebody asked me on the show, have you had a memorable dish? I go back to that because it was so simple. And it was so well done, and everything, even though there were, you know, the ingredients in it were on different sides of the spectrum, it was completely an amazing, amazing dish.
Mm-hmm. Equally, I don't know if amazing is the right word, but interesting,
mm-hmm.
was the lamb's brain.
Indeed.
I...
It was slightly terrifying.
That's a little intimidating, you know?
It was very visceral.
Is that the right word you're looking for there?
Yeah. I mean, you saw the brain. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't like it was...
In something.
It wasn't like it was in something. It was like a standalone brain.
It's like, here, brain on a plate.
Right. And it looked like a tiny human brain. I mean...
It did.
So...
I don't know. I always thought... I guess I never thought a brain was that... would hold together that well.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that proved me wrong.
And it was good.
It was good.
I liked it. It was served with tomato confit. It was, you know, it was very good. It was a little salty. But you had to, and that first bite, you kind of had to fight through it. Like,
mm-hmm.
This seems really wrong. I shouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this going to be the one thing that pushes me over into that vegetarian category?
I wonder if... You know, we talked a lot on the show about how childhood experiences influence cuisine and taste and things like that.
Right.
I wonder how many kids of our generation, people who grew up in the same area that we did, they became against the idea of brain due to the Temple of Doom. You know what I mean, though? Because, I mean, that scene where they're eating the monkey brains.
I do. I think, I don't even remember. I barely remember that scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Well, this is be subconscious.
Right. And I get that. And I can see your line of thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just so strange. It's like there is you know a stigma. You know, you eat the thighs, you eat the loins,
mm-hmm.
You know, you eat the wings.
American culture is very against organ meat.
It's an organ
with the exception
meat,
of the South
or Chris Cosentino.
Well,
that's all he does. Is
well, true. But the fact that he is well known
right.
is exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because he does such a weird. So,
right.
This year, our very first 2010 Well-Fed Guide Award goes to Saffron for the best use of organ meat.
Indeed.
So there you go. Now, you want to talk about. We're talking about one of the few because you know we each when we're putting this awards together.
Yes.
When we're putting this award together, we both kind of take the list and we pick our favorites.
Right.
And this year was interesting because we only had like one or two that we agreed on.
And I think that is a very telling sign of us growing as eaters and expanding our palates.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is the one thing that we agreed on.
Actually, both we agreed on. Are like the least foodie places
exactly.
we went to.
Exactly. The thing that you know really stood out to both of us was a place just literally across the street from where we are right now.
It's amazing how little I travel.
I know you really have everything you need in about a 6-block radius.
I'm just going through this list here. 3 out of the 5 awards are within 10 blocks of my house.
You can't call me a townie. That being said, just down the street from here is a little hole in the wall called Dusty's Bar, which we did this summer. It's a great little place, extremely limited menu. But for what
I wouldn't say limited, I would say small.
Oh, okay.
Because limited implies that they could do better, and I really don't think that this place could...
Or would want to.
It does exactly what they want.
Exactly.
It is a bar. I mean, any other, you know... You take out the signature dish, which we'll talk about in a second, and it's just a bar.
Yep.
You know, it's got a couple choices of tap beer. I think the fanciest tap beer you're going to find on there is maybe Grain Belt Northeast.
I think that there might have been like maybe a Summit.
Maybe a Summit.
You know, it was very Minnesota heavy.
Yeah. You know, this is the place you go. This isn't even a place you go to see the game. This is a place that you've gone to see the game for 30 years. You know
it's,
what I mean?
It's very much the neighborhood bar.
It's a neighborhood bar, which is weird because there's very little residential around that place. But the signature dish is what gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Is what elevates it above all of the other crappy.
It's
Midwestern bars.
It's craveable. It is.
I still think that's a stupid term.
I don't care.
I know.
It is. One of the most perfect sandwiches on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. You know, when you think about in both the simplicity of the ingredients and how much flavor is packed into this tiny little bun. It's the Dago.
The Hot Dago.
The Hot Dago from Dusty's Bar is an amazing, amazing achievement in fooddom. I oftentimes wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat thinking about it.
This explains your dating life as well.
Yeah. It's
It's similar to a burger.
Similar. Instead, substitute the burger with an Italian sausage.
So instead of... Well, it's not even an Italian sausage patty. It's like ground up sausage.
Right.
Which I guess is a sausage patty, right, now that I think about it.
And it's formed into a patty. So, good luck with that.
I need more rum, apparently.
Take a hamburger bun, Italian sausage patty, a little bit of caramelized onions, a little bit of peppers.
Yep.
A nice slice of what I believe to be provolone cheese over the top.
Could be mozzarella, but
could be possible mozzarella too. And then just a bun on top of that.
And you're forgetting the important piece of this.
Well, I just did the pure bagel.
No.
I did.
No, because you forgot the pizza sauce.
I didn't have pizza sauce on mine.
Well, then you had a different burger, because traditionally, a Dago is essentially like a pizza burger, because
right,
it's a pizza or a tomato sauce with cheese and the sausage patty. Mm-hmm. Okay, you went a little different.
Yep.
You got the sauceless variety.
Still equally as good and more burger-esque.
Yes. But what's amazing about it is it looks like a burger.
Mm-hmm. It's so simple.
As much as I think for a lot of people, you know, for a lot of people with burgers, I don't think a lot of people, and I kind of count myself in this group, I don't think a lot of people appreciate different grinds of burgers. You know, like they'll take like a gourmet burger, and meat wise, it'll taste the same as a McDonald's burger. Right. Or maybe that's an extreme example, because McDonald's, that's a terrible example.
No, but I get where you're going with it.
They're just not attuned to this is how the different grinds are for burgers, and they can't necessarily appreciate something that's, you know, 80% chuck and 20% you know whatever. You do the sausage though, it's such a curveball.
Right.
That.
Oh, it's that wonderful fatty content to it.
Yeah.
But it's more perfect than any sort of concoction of meat, of hamburger meat, mm-hmm, that you could come up with.
But the genius of it is it's not fancy.
No.
There's nothing fancy about this.
It is the anti fancy.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and that is why we gave it our 2010 award for best working man's food.
Damn right.
Because it, you know, a working man has very simple tastes, but that doesn't mean that he can't mix it up a little bit or take things that he knows he already likes and combine it in interesting ways.
Agreed. I think it's a type of sandwich that you start eating and you expect some Lynyrd Skynyrd to come on in the background.
Just in your head.
It's
just
in your head.
Somehow.
Yeah, a little simple kind of man. That's all I can do.
It sounded like the opening to CeeLo's Fuck You.
It might have been that, too.
Has anyone played the two songs next to back to back? Maybe he was sampling.
You might be on something.
It could be equal parts both. It could also be just the rum and lime that I've had here. How is your parrot?
Almost gone.
Wow. See, mine's fairly small. I would say mine's about a highball glass, if that.
Well, see, the thing is that I've hit pockets of juice and rum. So it'd be like, oh, there's the rum. Oh, there's the juice again. And so I tried to mix it up, and I was just...
In various veins.
Various veins of
liquor.
Liquor.
Understandable. All right. What else do we got to do?
That was yummy.
So Dusty's Bar has been around forever.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think since at least the 60s. I don't know the origins of it, but it's been around quite a while. But the Minneapolis food scene is ever changing.
Ever expanding,
you know, but it's, I think, ever changing. And I think we can take an opportunity before we go to this next one, because this is a good segue. Talk about, you know, like in any good award show, they always have that part where they talk about those that they lost.
Is there any way to cue up some
big maudlin music?
Yeah, you know, some Sarah McLachlan playing in the background.
I think you should sing it while I talk about this.
I can't do it. I got pizza in my mouth.
Yeah, well,
it's not going to work that way.
Now, the big one, especially recently, now this didn't technically happen in 2010, but it happened this week, and I think we should talk about it because we did visit it in 2010.
Yep.
And it was Town Talk. Now, Town Talk was a place that it was universally acclaimed. You know, it was local food. It had some of the hottest chefs working there as owners.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives went there.
Diners, you know, Triple D, whatever that fucking show is.
The guy at the douchebag.
The douchebag show, yeah. That's what we're calling it now. They did a thing there. I mean, it's been written up all over the country. They had some serious issues.
They did.
Having nothing to do with the food. Really, the food was the innocent victim. In this, it was the child left behind in the custody battle.
And you don't ever want to leave it up to the county.
No, not at all. So there was a lot of business shenanigans going on. I don't think anyone's ever going to really know what happened, as is always the case with it. But this last week, they finally shuttered their doors, and which is a damn shame, because as far as I know, they weren't struggling business wise.
No, there have been times where I've tried to go there, and the line's been out the door. I mean, they always have a serious amount of patronage. Patronage. Thank you. Holy crap!
I think water for you for the rest
you,
of the
you
show.
Think?
Coffee or something.
Oh my god. That being said, it's completely shocking to me. In all honesty.
See, it is shocking. I mean, you look at the history, you look at all the back talking and all that shit and the walkouts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was one of those where it was kind of like dating a crazy chick that is awesome in bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You would know about this. Except I don't know about the awesome in bed part. You just take adequate. Crazy chick, I adequate bed. Anyway, it was, when it worked, it was awesome.
I hate you so much right now.
But it was too dramatic. There was too much crap going on in the background. It just couldn't stand.
Yeah.
And I guess, and I hadn't been there recently. Like, we did that fairly early in the year. I think we did that like February.
Yeah, it was, I believe we were.
It was still snow. Yeah. It was still snow on the ground.
It was a Tuesday show.
How's it going, guys? How's the show?
Very good. Great. Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
And I haven't been back since.
Neither have I.
So I don't know that the food has suffered, but I hadn't heard that it had suffered.
No.
So, if anything, it's almost good that they left it on a high note, at least food-wise.
Right.
Like, they didn't let it just sit there and kind of fall apart. They just like, no, this is done.
Right.
And, you know, the guys involved with it, they're doing their own thing now. I mean, they're...
Yeah.
You know,
They're talented enough that they'll land on their feet.
I think most of them already have.
Right.
I don't know exactly where they are because I'm terrible with names, but and then we also lost a couple other ones. And one place we never went to, Liberty Frozen Custard.
Yep.
Which I've heard very, very good things for. They're actually still open. I think they're done January 27th.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get a chance to try it out, that would be a good place. I'm trying to think of other. Any other real big closings?
Well, Tom Fan closed two restaurants.
Yes.
Neither of which we went to. And opened up a monstrosity on Block E. That, again, we have yet to go to. That we might not go to anytime soon because of a suspect health report that came out today. But that's another show for another time.
Stay tuned to the Twitter feed. We'll post that story later.
Exactly. But I lost. We need to harken.
We're looking for other fails. Closings.
I can't think of any really off the top of my head.
No, you know, now that I think about it, I can't think of any either.
Yeah. So maybe we should tie it back to.
Rather than look at the deaths, let's look at the births.
Yes. To everything turns. There's a season. Turns.
Drink your turns. Parrot.
I'm out.
Oh, okay.
This is a problem.
No, it's really not a problem.
You sure?
Yeah. One of our favorite new places that opened this year is it in the food mall?
It is in the food mall.
Or is it right next door to it?
No, it's part of said
it's
food
mall. It's part of the food mall.
Yeah.
If you don't know the food mall, our name for Calhoun Square.
Yeah.
Which is the greatest collection of random mass restaurants.
It really is. It really is. You have Chiang Mai Thai.
Yes.
You have Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave, the Independent.
Independent. You have a Jimmy John's, which is...
A Jimmy
John's. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things is not the same.
Isn't Elgato in there?
Elgato is in there.
Yep.
But also you have this brand new... excuse me, my God, am I drunk. You have this brand new restaurant that is kind of turned what we would call, what one might call comfort food on its side.
It's hipsterized comfort food.
Hipsterized.
Which is similar
food.
To weaponizing. There's weaponizing and hipsterizing. It's a very close balance.
you need to have your own like entry into Wikipedia. The Evanpedia.
No one would read that.
I would.
Well, glad we have one reader.
I would. But the place we're talking about is a little place that just opened up.
It's not even that little.
No, it's not little at all. it's a place called Uptown Cafeteria.
Uptown Cafeteria and Support Group.
Thank you.
So you got to use the full title.
And it's a neat place that it takes, you know, your very simple comfort foods that... Maybe not you or I grew up with, but maybe our parents are growing up with.
I mean, there was definitely stuff that I grew up with. Now, right. Granted, I grew up on that old food, so I mean, maybe that's...
Tater tot hot dishes, fried chicken.
It reminds me a lot... You know what it reminds me of? And the more I think about it, the more I like this. It's basically like the cooler... younger brother of Annie's Parlor.
Kinda, I can
because
see that.
It's just like Annie's Parlor, where it's a kind of throwback, but just a little bit funkier. Mm-hmm. You know, and that goes to the food, that goes to the decor. Kinda,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah. The Uptown Cafeteria is a bit more polished.
Absolutely.
You know, it, everything's kind of got a spit shine on it.
Mm-hmm.
It has elements of a classic diner.
Yep.
But it also has the elements of a cafeteria, but it's also very...
With little Jetsons thrown in.
Tongue-in-cheek, exactly.
Yeah.
It looks like...
Do you just need a couple boxes for the pizza?
Do you want it?
I'll eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just one box.
It's very tongue-in-cheek. It's very Jetsons, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, it looks like it came out of a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah, I think that's very appropriate.
But while we were there...
A very special moment.
I had a very, very special moment, and it might have been, it was quite the life-changing moment. Now, very early on, we termed and trademarked the term Brinner, which was...
We did. I think history may disagree with us.
I don't care.
Okay.
Don't care. We trademarked the term Brinner. Oh, thank you. Awesome.
I feel like we need some red rockets.
Need red rockets or need deviled eggs?
Oof. Yeah. What would you pick?
Red rockets.
Let's do the red rockets.
Red rockets.
Okay.
Can I get a water, please?
Sure.
Yes, me too.
Doing okay on these?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, okay.
And a food epiphany.
Yeah, a food epiphany.
It literally changed my life, changed my outlook on food altogether. And I had the Night Train chicken and waffles at the Uptown Cafeteria. Now, one might think, it's just chicken. It's just waffles. You would be wrong. You would be completely wrong. Because the two, when merged together as one supreme being in force, turns into this super... grandiose dinner plate of awesomeness.
So far on the show,
yeah.
You've referenced Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yep.
And now you're talking about the joys of chicken and waffles.
Yes.
Are you a born again Southern boy?
You know it. You didn't see the Dixie flag in the
back. I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
I just figured since it was Martin Luther King Day, you brought the Confederate flag out.
Wow.
So, you know.
Wow. You're a terrible person.
No, you're the terrible person. I didn't bring out the flag. It doesn't mean just Heritage to everyone, you know.
Wow.
Just saying.
That being said, it was salty, it was sweet, it was like cake, it was like a meat, chickeny, salty cake of awesomeness.
Plus one.
Plus one. And I'm shocked at how well it went together. But, you know, the more I think about it, like between, you know, the big thing right now is the salty sweet.
Yeah.
The salty sweet craze. And that is really what it
the
was.
The craze that has given us the right. The caramel, the salted caramel ice cream.
Yes. Very, very much along the same lines.
Yeah.
You know, it was, it's that same ilk. And this took it to another level because you added meat to it. And how great is that? If you could take something that is so good together like that, and then you add meat to it, that's amazing.
Now remind me, which breakfast food don't you like? Is it pancakes or waffles?
It's pancakes and oatmeal. And I'm not a big fan of maple syrup either.
And yet you had the maple syrup
then
on.
Then I put the maple syrup on the chicken, which seemed so wrong to me.
I think by natural law, you should gain 40 pounds if you do that.
I agree.
Just doing it. You don't even have to eat it.
Completely agree. I'm not going to disagree with you at all on that. God, it was good. I mean, it really was good. And I've gone back there a few times. I went back and I had the beef stroganoff. That was really good.
Thank you.
And but I went back and I'm thinking to myself as I'm finishing up, I'm like, God, I should have had the chicken and waffles. Because that's really what I wanted. And, you know, I've actually tried to make it at home. You know, get some KFC and a couple of Eggo waffles, and it's just not the same.
How lazy are you?
No, but it's the deconstructing it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, I'll try to be quick. The fried chicken was really, really well done. It had a good flavor, good crispness.
Are we talking KFC or are we talking...
I'm talking Uptown Cafeteria, you're correct. Good flavor to the chicken, moist. You know, all around it was a good piece of chicken. And the waffle was really good by itself. The waffle as a standalone, as a breakfast item, would have been fantastic. So the fact that the two of them together worked so well is not surprising. And is my pick, our pick, for Food Epiphany Award. Is that what we're going to call it?
No, we're going to call it the Best Newcomer
Best
Award.
Newcomer?
Yes.
Because it was a food epiphany.
For you, it was. For me, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
But I didn't have that quite religious experience that you did.
And it is an amazing setting.
It is.
You're in downtown. We sat on the rooftop.
Yep.
You know, the only better view that I could think of right now is Stella's,
yep.
Which we did the following week. And that, you know... We were just, that just meant you're up higher.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful day, and it's the best, really a great way to spend a summer evening.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I will say about Uptown Cafeteria is that they definitely they're embracing kind of new media, to use that really overused term. They're doing a lot of stuff on Facebook and Twitter, and they're doing a lot of cool events. They had a really cool New Year's Eve party, you know, and they're doing really interesting stuff. So I think it's going to be kind of, hopefully, if it sticks around, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't, but if it sticks around, I think it'll be kind of one of the new shining stars in that kind of middle price range, you know, good food done well.
Slightly destination-y.
Slightly destination-y, you know, kind of hip, you know, kind of hipster-ish, you know, it's got a lot going for it. I think it has a bright future ahead of it.
I agree. I think it speaks to a lot of different blocks of life. And I'm not trying to be philosophical in any way. But I feel comfortable there. You feel comfortable there. I would feel comfortable like bringing any of my family members there.
Oh, yeah.
And having them be able to
find
some.
That's the cool place. And another good comparison would be like Bad Waitress.
Right.
Where it's one of those places where, you know, you can go, you know, on, you know, as a young person. Now, granted, you're of advanced age. But, you know, a young person could go there. And they can go and they can whip open their Apple laptop and they can blog about their... their alternative funk.
Where are you going?
Funk soul band.
Holy crap.
So they can do that and feel perfectly cool. But then when mom comes to town, they can also bring her there.
Okay.
And she will feel comfortable there as well.
Okay.
That's where I'm going with that.
That was very long-winded.
Oh, and you're masturbating about the chicken and waffles, wasn't it?
That was masturbating.
Masturbating thing?
It was worthy of a masturbatory session.
Wow.
Can I try that again?
No, I think you've used up all your strikes, sir.
Son of a bitch.
Red Rockets?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
We have to get these. It's by law.
It is. It's like dessert.
It is like dessert. The Red Rockets, which are, you know, extremely
hotter
hot.
Than hell.
Yeah. Wow.
Holy shit.
But it is, I don't know if it's a beer batter, but it is a beer batter.
Beer batter corn dog.
Beer battered corn dog with a honey mustard. They're fantastic. And before we go on to this next one, although we're running long, but fuck it, it's a long show. I was here on Saturday, a couple days ago.
Okay.
With various members of my family. And I'm like, you know what? I get Red Rockets every time I'm here. I'm going to try something a little different.
Sneaky. I was like waiting for him, like, what's coming up?
Your good, staff, right? Is too good. Yes,
yeah,
very good.
Fast.
Very good.
Where is it going? Okay. So I'm like, I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get the brown sugar babies, which is a little smoky, wrapped in bacon, and then dipped in a brown sugar syrup. Given those parameters, given those ingredients, I don't think I have... That is probably the first time in my entire dining history at Psycho Susie's that I've ever been disappointed in what I got.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
The brown sugar was brown sugar. It wasn't like a glaze. It was raw brown sugar. So it added a grittiness that I don't really like in my bacon-wrapped sausages.
Which is surprising, considering how much you do enjoy just straight sugar.
I do. But it was just... I mean,
for God's sake, you used to snort Pixie sticks.
I never snorted.
I'm kidding.
I did, however, take an entire bag, open them all, empty them all into a bowl, and then just eat them out of the bowl.
It's like a... How?
Sometimes with a straw, sometimes did the lick-a-made, where you lick the finger and do that, you know.
Oh my god.
It wasn't a communal bowl.
You're disgusting.
Yeah, well.
Hi guys. Do either of you have a Volkswagen GTI?
Nope. Why, are you giving one away?
Exactly.
I'll take one. Oh, darn.
Nothing major.
Anyway. But no, it just didn't work for me. At all. So... Avoid them, I would say.
That's shocking.
It was kind of sticky. It didn't work. And it was really, really sweet.
I know you don't like it when you're sticky.
I hate it when I'm sticky.
No.
Heather always makes fun of me. Because I hate getting shit in my hands. When I'm cooking.
Okay.
You know, I just can't stand it.
I'm surprised you don't use plastic gloves.
I've been tempted, honestly. But I hate getting stuff on my hands. So I'm constantly washing my hands. Like, I'm struck OCD while I'm cooking. She always makes fun of me. Carving out a pumpkin is borderline torture for me.
Really?
Yeah. I just can't do it. It's no good. Anyway, so while the Uptown Cafeteria and support group is very, very hipsterish, very, very new fancy, the next place...
Newfangled.
...is almost the exact opposite.
Okay.
That was your cue, but I'll go.
I introduced this last one.
Oh, did you?
It's your turn.
Oh, yeah, it is. Sorry. It's another place nearby my house. I think we just kind of picked it on a whim.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Forgot what we were talking about.
Totally.
Yeah. Just completely on a whim. It's in the you know, we talked about this on the show. Cities will have Chinatown, Japantown, you know, little Tokyo, here in Minneapolis we have Hmong Town and St. Paul. Minneapolis we've got like little Mogadishu. So I mean, they're kind of cultural areas. But there's the Strip. It's kind of centered around Central and Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
That I just like to call Foreigner Town. Because it's got everything. You've got Holy Land right there. You've got a couple different Mexican and South American places. You've got a halal pizza stand. Where else are you going to get that? Right. Except Foreigner Town.
I'm very PC on this show.
I'm very PC. And I say that with utter love. Because it's a lot of cool places. And the places that I've eaten there have always been good.
Yeah. No, it's always extremely authentic.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to our favorite for best drunk food.
Absolutely.
Which we may have to go after this, because apparently Dave is smashed. El Taco Riendo, which translates to the laughing taco.
Really?
It does.
You actually did homework.
No, there's actually a small chain in California called the same thing. As far as I know, this is not related. But this is authentic Mexican. It's almost street food.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. That's an excellent way to put it. It is authentic Mexican food. We literally watch the guy make the food from point A to point B.
Well, you can do that at a Subway.
But there's a little difference. A little bit.
A little bit. There's a Subway right across the street from it, too.
Stop it with the Subway?
No. Trying to get him as a sponsor.
Here's the hope.
Although after all my death threats to Jared, I don't think that's gonna.
You just want to be him when you grow up.
Anyway, but you know, a South American place is authentic when you can get beef tongue.
Yeah.
On a taco.
Absolutely.
Which did you get the tongue?
I got like six different tacos. If you remember correctly.
I know, but was one of them a tongue?
One was beef tongue. They didn't have the they didn't have tripe.
That's right.
I was a little disappointed there. But I did get the carne asada.
Mm-hmm.
They had a straight ground beef. They had a chicken tinga, and they also had a al pastor, which is pork. It might be my favorite pork application out there. Is that saying something?
Yes.
Because I enjoyed the pork application and the Italian sausage. In the hot dago.
Mm-hmm.
But when al pastor is done.
Yeah, can you explain what al pastor is?
Al pastor is a marinated pork that is, in a lot of the applications that I've seen, is cooked very much in the similar.
Yeah, I'm
done.
Lies.
It's gone.
I like that. That's your dessert.
Damn right,
it really was.
Did you want?
Oh god, no.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna pass out.
Okay, yeah.
I think we're good.
Okay.
It's done in the similar style of a shawarma.
Okay.
Or your shawarma meat.
Yep.
Euro meat, and it's really assembled in that. In that same way, where they literally lay these pork loins on a shawarma spit vertically and build it up around the pole, and then it spins and cooks that same way. And then they carve it off and fry it up on a flat top or in a pan.
Yeah.
But it's seasoned in all sorts of spices. I mean, your standard issue cumin and chili pepper,
cilantro,
the whole shoot match, onion.
The Mexican medley.
Exactly.
As it were.
The whole trinity.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But really, extremely flavorful. It definitely is like a heavy marinade on them. But when you cook it like that, it gets a nice caramelization on it as well.
Uh-huh.
And I become, it's, again, like I said, one of my favorite applications of pork.
Yeah.
Out there.
And it's just one of those where you can go in, you order your food, it's cooked quickly, you get a lot for the money.
Yeah. It was a cheap show.
You know, I think for the two of us, it was maybe $25.
Yeah.
And we got a ton of food plus several drinks.
Yeah. And they got the Mexican Coke.
They got Mexican Coke and they got the various other Mexican fruit sodas and things like that. It's awesome.
Everything that you love.
I do love it. But it's
by the way, this has the deposit for that, so I can take that off when I...
No, actually, I'd like to keep this.
Oh, you would? Okay, yes, I'll swap it in for a clean one.
Excellent, thank you.
Are you still working on it?
No, I'm done.
Oh, okay, cool.
Forgot you were buying that.
Damn right. It's one I don't have yet. Eventually, I want my house to look like all these shelves. Just nothing but tiki glasses.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly. Emphasis on the slowly. Yeah. But yes, it's just... It's an amazing value. It's excellent food. There's no downsides.
No,
they got great Mexican soap operas playing in the background.
It's friendly.
Very friendly.
Extremely friendly. The guy. It was a crappy weather out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Crappy weather.
Yeah, it was.
And we were the only ones in there, and just one chef and then what would look to be the owner.
It was probably the owner and his kid and his son.
And, was willing to, we were kind of asked the question, what's good? And he spouted off a couple different things and, what was on special today. And I think you actually ended up getting one of the specials.
I think I did. I forget what I got, but it was really good.
It looked amazing. It was huge.
Yeah. It was kind of a... I remember it was extremely cheesy.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an exploded quesadilla.
It really was, because they literally had a layer of tortillas at the bottom, didn't it?
Yeah. It was an exploded quesadilla. Yeah. That's what we're going with.
Okay.
So, and it's one of the, it's that good filling. It's not greasy, but it's that kind of down home.
Yeah.
Kind of food that you want to have when you're the morning after.
Yeah.
But before we this is already going to be a long show. But before we get to our best of 2010, was there any food trends that you saw either in the places we went to or just in general, just paying attention to the food scene? That you would change or that you just want to highlight, or you want to bring attention to, either as a bad thing or a good thing?
I think I'd really like to see the end of the cupcake craze.
Really?
I'm kind of over that now. I think it's just like, oh, you got neat cupcakes. Ooh. Yeah, I'm over it. I'm kind of over that craze. I'm definitely tired of that. And that's not taking anything away from cupcake, the restaurant, because their grilled cheese and tomato soup is still freaking awesome.
Another place we went to.
And I've actually, because it's relatively close to my work, I've gone there a couple times.
Okay.
And enjoyed the hell out of it. Especially on a day like today where it's cold as hell.
Yep.
And it's snowing out. And really, the only thing you want is some grilled cheese and tomato soup.
I completely agree.
But that being aside, I don't get the cupcakes when I go there. Because I'm really kind of over that.
Why are you over it?
It just seems like... I think once the Food Network did that Cupcake Wars, I'm like, this isn't cool anymore. This is more like cheesy. It's not doing anything for me anymore. And that's not to say I'm not going to enjoy a cupcake every once in a while. But I'm more likely, rather than go to these bakeries where, that's all that they're doing are cupcakes, I'm going to go to a small town bakery. I'm going to buy a cupcake because it looks nice, and they probably are doing a nice buttercream frosting. They've been doing it for 60 years.
Yeah.
As opposed to, somebody fresh out of culinary school who wants to be a baker. If we're gonna go that route, let's go old school. Let's keep it pure. Let's keep it simple. I don't need bacon on a cupcake. I'm good. I'm kind of over it.
Okay. Anything else?
I am becoming increasingly tired, but not.
You don't have to complain. Is there anything you like?
I like the Korean barbecue trend that's kind of slowly No, what? Bear with me. When we did the State Fair show.
Yeah.
We did the Korean barbecue tacos.
Uh-huh.
You're kind of seeing that on some different menus here and there. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I...
Well, you can get a... here, there's a Korean... oh, no, that was... No, never mind. Never mind.
Different place?
No, we went to Ginger Hop last night, and they were talking about that.
Excellent example. You know, stuff that is taking two very different cuisines and kind of fusing it together, mm-hmm. But are taking stuff that's kind of way out in left field, like Korean. Mm-hmm. That is...
Well, that's one thing I've noticed, definitely, is you're seeing a lot more influence of, I guess you could call it, if you wanted to be slightly un-PC, alternative Asian cuisines. It's not the Japanese, it's not Chinese, and you're seeing Malaysian and Korean and Thai, and you're seeing that not so much, you know, we went to a couple Thai places, we went to True Thai, we went to another place that I'm blanking on right now, but you're seeing an integration of those flavors. Southeast Asia,
yes,
you know, Vietnam, even India, I think, in a little bit. We're integrating it into what you'd also consider kind of American food.
But you're integrating unfamiliar flavors into familiar food.
Yeah.
Hey.
That was accidentally somewhat clever.
I know. What the heck?
I know. So that is cool. I totally agree with you that I see that more and more often. And I am seeing more and more, and this goes back to what we were talking about with the Uptown Cafeteria. There is a bigger push, and I think a lot of it has to do with the economy, and I think a lot of it has to do with just a kind of not a nostalgia craze, but just a wish for something simpler.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot more comfort food, a lot more stuff we grew up with, stuff grandma used to make. And I think an offshoot of that is the cupcake thing.
Yeah.
You know, and because, you know, people just can't leave well enough alone. And I think in a lot of ways that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can certainly overdo it. I mean, we've talked in the show a couple times about the whole preponderance of sliders.
Yes.
And things like that.
Oh, we're tired. I'm tired of sliders.
You know.
That needs to just go away. It really does.
You know, but I see more and more places doing stuff with comfort food ideas.
Yeah.
Seeing more, you know, gourmet mac and cheeses. And there's a place, it's fairly new, that we haven't been to yet, and I want to try to get to it in the next couple weeks, The Inn.
Yeah.
That's them.
Hot dish.
Hot dish. Yeah. Hot dish. H-O-U-H-A-U-T-E. Hot dish.
Yeah.
You know, another place we haven't been to. That's a big thing, though.
It's, again, taking familiar things that are familiar and just turning them on the side,
mm-hmm.
infusing a different flavor, you know, presenting it in a manner that you're not used to.
Yeah. And I also think that, at least here in Minnesota, and this can be part of just kind of the general Midwestern vibe, but I think we're getting away from the very frou-frou kind of stuff. We're not seeing as much deconstructed such and such, or I mean, where you are seeing that, you're seeing that with, again, kind of an ethnic twist on it. You're seeing more tapas places, you're seeing, you know, other kind of, you know, variations of that, but you're not seeing, you know, we did the sea change.
You did sea change.
And
tell me how that show went.
It went very well.
Did it?
Yeah. One thing that hasn't changed from year to year is how bitter Dave gets about anything.
This is the one.
Don't forget to Band-Aids.
Yes, we will not forget.
Vendors of broken dreams, put them in your wallet.
Okay.
Never know when you need one.
That's right.
My bitterness will never die.
I don't think we're going to see another high-end, like, super expensive place.
Not in this...
For a while.
In the economic climate that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... You can't support it.
No.
You have places that are fine dining, you know, that have opened up in the last year or so, that are high-end, but... That being said, it's you can't open up a restaurant and start your price points these days and expect to be successful between 25 and 30 or 25 and 50.
Yeah.
Unless you're a steakhouse.
Even then,
you're that's a tough sell, and you better have, you know, your chefs on staff, or you better have a known chef on staff that is necessitating that type of a price point. I like the food as being, you know, good food has become extremely accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, our favorite. It's not even, I hesitate to call it the best because it is the place that we went to.
Yeah.
It's always based on where we went. But our favorite of 2010.
You want me to do a drum roll on the table?
Well, I want you to introduce this because this was like about the only award that you were almost adamant about.
It was a foodgasm. It was. It's a tiny little place in South Minneapolis, just south of Uptown. Cuban place called Victor's 1959 Cafe. It's about a 12-seater.
If that.
Not much to look at.
No. Not from the outside.
Not from the outside. But when that plate of food sits in front of you...
That's all you're looking at.
That's all you're looking at. And you are going in there with the passion and the fire of a thousand suns. It is... a wonderful, wonderful plate of food. And it was amazing. It was flavorful. It was tender. The meat, I want to call them pork rags, because I think that's what the
loose translation. Yes, that's what it translates to, but I can't remember the actual... Yeah.
The pork rags, which is essentially just shredded pork in like this kind of a spicy mole sauce. With a little bit of rice, some tostones. Oh my God! Like I was. And people can't see this, but I was so close to ordering a second.
Well, if I remember that show, we ran out of batteries.
Yes.
Beforehand,
uh-huh.
So I had to run across the street to get batteries. Now, due in part to the service. And just the speed at which they delivered it. You were almost done with your food before we started recording.
And I paced myself as best as I could. In all honesty, I was literally doing this. But it was, you know, just very slow.
Like you're eating in slow motion.
Slow and steady wins the race.
You're eating it like an NFL
football.
I was not
taking a breath. That's the thing. I was just inhaling at that point. And it was that good. I mean, it was that freaking good.
I'll agree with you. I mean, I had of course their Cuban sandwich,
yep.
Which is right up there on my pantheon of sandwiches. And I'm a sandwich guy.
Yeah,
I love sandwiches.
It's your thing.
You know, I
it's
just it, that's my thing. I love them.
Yeah.
And to me, there are very, very few things better than a well-made Cuban sandwich. And this was extremely well made, and it was dense, and it had a really nice sharp pickle, you know, flavor to it. But you also had the smooth the cheese and the ham,
mustard,
and that mustard, a nice little bite to the mustard, and it was perfectly done, kind
you need
of bread.
A wet nap or something. You're drooling.
I'm drooling.
That's amazing.
I am. It's pretty sad.
And, you know, I would tend to do the same thing with my meal. I mean,
yeah.
It might have been one of the shows that we talked the least. Because
I think so.
I did not want to talk to you while I was eating that.
Because
you're kind of ruining it for me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to just keep feeding myself.
Yeah, it was...
And we topped it off. We topped it off with that key lime pie, too.
Yes. Yes. And again, pantheon of pies.
The key lime is right there.
I can't think of one I like better. Both in key lime as a general, or a key lime I've had.
It's like a top five pie.
It is one of the best key lime pies I've ever had in my life.
It was definitely one of the best pies I've ever had.
Yes.
key lime is in my top five pies.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to keep saying top five pies.
You're just amazed you're sober enough to say it, probably.
I really am, actually. But to kind of finish off that whole meal with that beautiful piece of pie, smooth and creamy and limey and elegant.
You know what we should have ended there with? A cigar.
Really is what that called for.
Yes.
And if it wasn't so windy out, we could have sat outside and that would have just taken it over the top.
It would have, but alas, yeah. For another time.
Food boner. Food boner.
So there you go. All of our awards will be, we'll show them, we'll post them up on the website and on Facebook. You may notice that we did not do a Listener's Choice Award, and that is because we were a bit short on votes.
Right.
So what we're going to do, we're going to push it back another week. Now here's the way it works. You pick your favorite, and we will award that to whichever gets the award. And then a random commenter, be it in the thread or if you email us with your pick, random voter, will get a... Now, originally I said a $25 gift card. But I will say this, and as an encouragement to everyone to tell their friends to retweet it, to mention it on Facebook, just to get the word out as much as possible. For every 10 people that vote on the thing, and we'll post everything, okay? So we're not going to try to cheat anybody. For every 10 people that vote in Listener's Choice, that gift card will go up $5.
Oh.
So if 20 people vote, that becomes a $35 gift card.
You are going down a very slippery slope, my friend.
I realize this.
Have you topped it out?
I may call it at some point.
You might want to.
I would probably top it off at about 50.
There you go.
But that would still require 40 people voting.
Right.
More than that. 50 people. That would take 50 people voting.
Right. Way to go with your math.
I've had rum. Leave me alone. So the more people vote, the higher the gift card will be for the winner. So tell your friends. Post it on Facebook. Post it on Twitter. Just get the word out, and hopefully we'll give away a big-ass gift card. So, and next week was a very special guest.
It's on.
It is on. He has not been on the show. He's never been on the show with the both of us.
No, just with you.
Just with me.
Because he's been scared of me.
Yeah, sure that's exactly what
he's trembling in fear.
I'm sure that's exactly.
He is my nemesis.
Is that what he is?
He is the yin to my yang. It's Batman and Superman. It's go time.
No, it's more Superman and Aquaman, I think, in your case.
Don't call me Aquaman. Sucks.
I know. That's why I chose Aquaman.
I am Batman. He is Superman.
No, I think you're exaggerating. But anyway, we'll have James Norton of HeavyTable.com on the show next week. There's a possibility of a Juicy Lucy battle because you had some serious words for him. Related to his choice for the best Juicy Lucy in the
cities.
Because
he's uncultured.
We may discuss this.
And apparently has no taste buds either.
Well.
What do you think of that?
Well, we'll discuss this next week. So James Norton on the show. And we may even do a James Norton special award as well.
A James Norton.
That actually reminds me. Before we forget, we did lose another place. That was both very important to both of us.
You know what? You're right.
We lost the Nook.
We did lose the Nook this year.
Which you hated.
Temporarily.
Which you hated.
I did.
Because, and I think that's what burned the place down. Was your hatred.
Yep.
Yeah.
I burned down my eyes.
Yes. No, the Nook had a kitchen fire, basically totaled the place.
Yeah.
But luckily all the people, no one got hurt and everyone got to keep their job. I forget who...
Groveland Tap stepped up, and they're splitting shifts between a bunch of different restaurants now too.
Yeah,
Which is really awesome.
Yes,
and even though I did not like the place, I give them their props for taking care of their employees. They're rebuilding in a hurry.
It's supposed to be up by this summer, isn't it? Yeah,
they'll be up and running. From what I hear, they're expanding a little bit too, which they really do need to do.
Yeah, it was kind of an awkward layout. Another place, I don't know if it burned down. I think it burned down at the beginning of the year, but Heidi's.
Yeah.
Heidi's and Blackbird Cafe.
Yeah.
Heidi's is back up.
Yeah.
I don't remember if Blackbird is too. Yeah. So it's been a good year for rebirths, I guess.
Birthings.
Well, I mean, you had Heidi's, you had the Nook, you had this place, yeah. Psycho Susie's, you know. Although the old place didn't burn down, right. Thankfully.
Not yet.
No.
Would like to turn it back into an old school A&W.
That would be kind of cool.
Your brain would explode.
That would be pretty awesome.
That would kill you.
That would be pretty awesome. That would be pretty awesome. Anyway, so yeah, we'll post all the awards. We've got the listener's choice. You have until next week. We'll do the same thing. You've got until noon next Monday to get your votes in. We would love it if we could just get a ton of votes. I want to give away a big gift card. So tell your friends about us. Not only about the award, but just tell them about the show. If you've liked the show, if you've been to a restaurant that we've suggested, let us know and let your friends know. Post, we've got a Twitter account, twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg. We've got a Facebook account at facebook.com/wellfedguide. We are on Foursquare now, I should mention. I think it's just Well Fed Guide. If you just search for Well Fed at fancybusinessgangsters.com, you'll find us. I want to try it out somewhere, but there's a new food, like Foursquare-ish style. It's like Foursquare meets Yelp. Okay. It's a website called foodspotting.com.
Okay, that sounds terrible.
It's kind of weird. We'll talk more about it next week, but it's basically instead of reviewing places, you're reviewing dishes.
Oh, I like that.
It's a cool idea.
I like that.
It's a cool idea. So we'll talk about that next week with James. But we are on Foursquare now. So follow us, be our friend on that. And we'll be posting where we're doing the show each week, plus any place that we go to throughout the week.
We're trying to compile a bunch of badges. Is really what we're trying.
Yes, we're badge whores.
We really are. And considering we're teaming up to form a Super Friends type of deal.
Yes.
We challenge all comers for this game.
We do. So, I think this year, looking through this list, it's been a very good year for us as a show. Food wise, we've had some amazing meals. It's kind of interesting that there was nothing on here that really jumped out at us for like the best. But not because everything sucked. It was just because there was so much good stuff.
You didn't want to pick something we did really recently because we had some really good stuff at the beginning of the year. It was hard. It was definitely hard. That's what she said.
That bitch. So I want to mention this real quick. We'll leave with this. My lovely fiance.
Who you just called a bitch?
Sort of.
Wow.
No, bear with me on this. She did her first bridal fair yesterday.
Did you go?
I did not go.
Really?
I did not go.
I'm surprised you didn't. There's free food at this.
I know. But I had stuff to do. I was indisposed, so I couldn't go.
God. Cake.
But so she signed us up for all of these vacations, like all these specials, and apparently put my email address as the thing.
Good for her.
So the first wave of spam has already hit
awesome.
Me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah.
Missed out on big cake.
I know.
And hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, there actually wasn't as much hors d'oeuvres as from what she said.
To, just because I'm curious.
She went to the one in the convention center.
You got to go to the one in St. Paul.
Well, I don't know when that is.
It's in the spring.
It's in the spring. Well, I'm sure. Trust me.
Buttercream cake.
There are many bridal fairs in my near future, so. God.
I might have to go with you. I love cake. I love me some cake.
Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you for putting up with us for another year. And thank you for all your support you've had so far. And I guess until next time, we don't have anything smart to say.
No,
we don't. We just want cake.
I really want cake.
Bring more cake.
Buttercream cake.
Buttercream cake.
Make it happen, people.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.